eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're hanging out after hours with Matt Anderson, presented by Inside the Gamecocks.
Good evening, everybody. As always, my name is Matt Anderson. I'm the host of the late night Gamecocks show. Sometimes it gets late at night. You can't pronounce what your show's called. But I appreciate everybody joining me tonight. It's going to be a really, really fun episode. Obviously, the Gamecocks are trucking along right now in SEC play. The men's basketball side of things is looking phenomenal. Gamecocks are 17-3, 5-2 in the SEC. I felt like I should have said something last Friday, but just kind of ran out of time. It was a quick episode. But the Lady Gamecocks, two big wins, beating Vanderbilt by 17, and then going on the road and taking care of business against LSU 76-70. I only caught the last 5 minutes of the Lady Gamecocks game. And, you know, looking at the box score and seeing that they came back from a double-digit deficit, that is ridiculous. I think I heard a stat that the Lady Gamecocks now have been trailing by double digits. I want to say it was like 11 or 15 times over the past like 7 years, like something crazy. And they've come back to win every single game. So, you know, what Dawn Staley has going with what the women's program is phenomenal. I think it's right up there with what Coach K has done with the Duke basketball program, what Bobby Knight did with Indiana, Rick Pitino did with Kentucky. And the great thing about Dawn is she's still just getting started. It's phenomenal. I'm so happy for those girls on the team and Dawn Staley and our fans. They continue to pack out Colonial Life Arena. I know they got a big one against Connecticut coming up, and Connecticut's always kind of been the top team in women's college basketball. But love watching those girls play. Anytime I have the opportunity, I want to check it out. I'm seeing some comments popping right now. Big Chicken 61 said, "Let's do this." Craig Godwin said, "Hey, hey, Mad Dog." Yeah. Real big shout out really quick to Phil Mullinax, who's our producer on my show, on JC and Morgan's show, on Inside the Gamecocks. I don't know how Phil does it. I mean, today he was producing two shows at the same time with JC and Morgan, going a little long and then having to hop on with Inside the Gamecocks and kind of running the show there with JB until Whittle got on the show. So my hat's off to Phil. My hat always off to Phil. Phil does a phenomenal, phenomenal job. Wouldn't trade producers for anybody else in the country. So, wow, Craig, I did not realize that. Craig Godwin says, Lady G's are like 89-3 in their last 92 games. Well, that's absolutely astounding. I'm not going to fact check you here, but I feel like you're probably pretty accurate there, which just testament to Dawn Staley, testament to those girls and what they're able to do. And just, you know, Pat Summitt did it first, and then Jean Oriyama did it at Connecticut. And wow, really, really proud of those girls. But I'm also really, really proud of the guys. And before I go to men's basketball, the men's tennis team is absolutely killing it right now. I don't know if you guys have paid attention, but I know they beat Clemson the other day. I think they beat the number one team in the country a few days ago, too. Like, men's tennis is absolutely crushing it. Good time to be a Gamecock. We have baseball coming up soon. John Whittle was all over it on thebigspur.com talking about the baseball inter-squad scrimmages this past weekend. I really wanted to get out there. I really was going to try to, but just didn't work out with my schedule. But I was at the South Carolina-Missouri basketball game. Absolutely electric environment. I would say it was about 75-80% full. Kind of in the corners and the upper deck was kind of light, but Gamecock fans showed out. I was texting with JC, I don't know, maybe about 30-45 minutes before the game, and I told him, like, I haven't seen this amount of buzz around Colonial Life Arena in a really long time. And it might have even gone back to the Frank McGuire Arena days, because I remember being, you know, a younger kid, 20 years ago. So I was probably like 10 or 11, 12 years old going to Frank McGuire Arena and the Carolina Coliseum. And just the amount of people that were walking around, you know, there early. I mean, the lots in front of the arena filled up pretty quickly. I had to go down on Pulaski Street and park at a meter. And that was like 30 minutes before the game started. So just to see the amount of buzz and the amount of excitement surrounding Colonial Life Arena was awesome. And I've been saying it for a really, really long time now, but you know, these kids deserve Colonial Life Arena to be full every single game. What they're providing the fans is unmatched. I'll tell you a quick story. I actually had to snag just a single ticket. So I had a single ticket to the game. I was up in section 202, or maybe 222, section 222, row 2, seat 5. And it was a cool little area because if you've ever been in that section, you're, you know, one row up in the upper deck, but at the same time, there are only like 5 seats per row. So I met some gentlemen that were really awesome. It was 4 guys that played golf together and they played golf together in college. And they had all kinds of, you know, Gamecock stories. And they were really just true fans. And that's what I really appreciated, because I spend a lot of time on message boards. I see a lot of, like, you know, some my comments here are really awesome, but I see a lot of stuff related to the Gamecocks that can be kind of negative. But these guys were just celebrating every shot, celebrating every, you know, good play the Gamecocks had. And it was really refreshing to hang around 4 guys that, you know, didn't know me from Adam, and we could all just be Gamecock fans together. It was something cool. One of the funnier things is Morris Ugasek, right? Morris Ugasek, a freshman. He had 8 points in the first half against Missouri. Just an absolutely great game. We all know he's from Finland. Well, those guys couldn't pronounce his name, or just didn't know how to pronounce it. And they kept calling him, gotta pull this up. They kept calling him Helsinki. Helsinki is obviously the capital of Finland. And I absolutely loved it. I'm going to call Morris Helsinki from now on, because I thought that was an awesome nod to, you know, where he's from, and just, you know, a lot easier to say than Ugasek. So just an absolute great time at the game. Gamecocks won 72-64. And I'll be honest, I didn't have my little legal pad at the game. I was just going to enjoy it as a fan, as, you know, somebody that loves the Gamecocks. So I don't have like the breakdown like I did against Kentucky, but what I can tell you is I'm looking at KenPom.com right now. South Carolina got off to, it was kind of a weird start. If you look at the first 10 minutes ish of the game, the Gamecocks were up 17-10, but the Gamecocks got down 4-0 pretty quickly and had a big run to get up 8-4. And at the end of the first 10 minutes, 17-10 Gamecocks. at halftime, it was, what was it, like 30, let's see, 17 plus 29. So that would be 39 to 19. So the Gamecocks did have a 10-point lead. Maybe I'm doing the math wrong. But anyway, long story short, the Gamecocks looked really, really good in the first half. And I think it ended up being about a 10-point lead. And then Missouri went on a run, an 11-0 run in the second half to take a 1-point lead. And, you know, just watching the game, I was like, okay, is this danger zone? I mean, Michi wasn't scoring. Michi finished the game 0 for 9, which is like really, really rare for Michi Johnson. I think he was, what, 0 for 7 from the 3-point line, which you don't see at all from Michi. But, you know, the Gamecocks kind of weathered that storm. They were able to win the game by 8. So they, you know, they left 2 points on the table in the second half. So it was only an 8-point win as opposed to a 10-point lead that they had at halftime. But it was just another instance of the Gamecocks just battling back, holding serve, and getting the job done. You know, looking at this game, I was waiting for Talon to try and like take over, and it didn't happen right away, but it definitely happened in the second half. I think that Talon and Michi might have, obviously Michi didn't score at all in the game, but Talon, I think, had like 3 or 4 points in the first half. And I just kept thinking to myself, okay, Talon's going to do something. And it happened in the second half. I mean, when you look at the end of the game, Talon finished with 12 points. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 turnovers, which is uncharacteristic for Talon. But he also had 1 steal, 3 fouls, and he played 36 minutes. And I haven't been able to. I've expressed it, but like I've been more impressed by Talon Cooper than any Gamecock in recent memory. I'm just put it that way. He had another offensive rating of 131%. Absolute phenomenal, phenomenal player. I think when you look at where the Gamecocks are right now, they're 17-3, 5-2 in the SEC. And, you know, I wanted to pull some stuff up here. And, you know, just looking at Michi Johnson, I've heard that Michi, you know, Big Spur, you know, message boards in general, social media, it gets kind of bad. And, you know, Michi didn't have a great game, but if the Gamecocks can win by 8 against Missouri and Michi has 0 points, that's a good thing. That's a really, really good thing. Michi's not going to do that going forward. And just pulling the numbers, you guys may have realized this, you gals may have realized this, but Michi is, you know, he scored double figures in 15 out of the 20 games so far this season. So he had a bad day against Missouri. If 3 of those 3-pointers that he fired up, you know, go in the net, Gamecocks are looking at their double-digit win. That would have been 3 in a row. They almost got it without him. But, you know, BJ Mack's another guy that I've been critical of. And I'll be the first person to tell you, I've been critical of BJ Mack. I was critical of him, you know, the last 3 to 4 games out of conference play and then the first couple games of SEC play. But if you look at him right now, good on you, BJ. BJ's averaging 16.8 points per game his last 5 games. BJ is never going to be a guy that just wows you with athleticism. He's not going to be a guy that is going to, you know, just dunk on somebody or grab 18 rebounds and just be an athletic marvel. But what BJ is a guy that if he can make that 3-pointer at the top of the key, you know, it's interesting. He started making some threes from the, you know, that around the 3-point line against Missouri. And he's kind of been a top of the key guy when the offense kind of settles and, you know, 5, 7, 8 seconds into the shot clock. And he's like the trail guy, you know, he's busting that 3-pointer and he makes it sometimes, he misses sometimes, but I thought he was a little bit more creative with his shot than he has been so far. And couldn't be happier for BJ Mack. That if the Gamecocks are going to get 16.8 points per game from BJ Mack, and, you know, Talon's going to give you, I'll tell you right now, last 5 games, Talon's averaging 12.4 points per game, 4.8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.4 turnovers per game, 1 steal, and 1.8 personal fouls per game playing 37 minutes. If the Gamecocks can consistently get what they've gotten out of Talon Cooper, BJ Mack, and Michi, obviously, you know, Michi had the bad game, but like another stat for you, I want to talk a little bit about this like 5-game sample because it's been really interesting for me. Gamecocks are 4-1 in that sample. And Colin Murray-Boyles,
7.6 points per game, 6.6 rebounds, 2.8 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal, 2 personal fouls, playing 26 minutes per game. And then you look at Josh Gray. Josh Gray has been monumental for the Gamecocks' success. Over the last 3 games, Josh Gray is averaging 6 points, 4.3 rebounds, and only 2 fouls per game. It's been a really fun time to be a Gamecock. Obviously, the Georgia loss still hurts all Gamecock fans. It was frustrating to watch. It wasn't a good night. It became a ref show towards the end. I think that was actually a 9 o'clock tip off. So it was a late night, and Gamecocks lost by 5 points. But you know, last 5 games, Jacoby Wright 9.6 points, and he's hit 8 threes over the last 5 games. And Miles Studi, you know, Miles Studi is going to come back from injury. He's going to come back against probably Tennessee tomorrow. I think he might not start, but he's probably going to play. And I don't know how many minutes he's up to right now. I mean, it wasn't a lower body injury, so it's all going to be about how he integrates into the offense. But Miles Studi's played in, what is it, 18 games so far, I believe. No, 17 games so far. And he scored in double figures, 11 of them. So it's not a bad thing at all for the Gamecocks to get Miles Studi back going on the road against Tennessee. It's going to be something that, I mean, if you can get double digit points out of him, now all of a sudden you're looking at, you know, Gamecocks scored 72. Let's look at since Miles Studi went out. He went out against Georgia. So Gamecocks scored 69 points in that game. 77 against Arkansas, 79 against Kentucky, and 72 against Missouri. And now you're potentially getting, you know, maybe around 11 points per game back. I think he actually averaged like 9.9. So yeah, if he's on the court and he's taking minutes from somebody else, there's potentially, you know, you're not going to get, you know, 9.9 plus what everybody else was giving. But at the same time, Miles Studi coming back is not a bad thing at all. Looking at this Tennessee game tomorrow, I'm not gonna sugarcoat this. Tennessee is really, really good at basketball, and they've been really, really good at basketball for a number of years now. You know, Rick Barnes has been around the block. He's coached in what seems like every single conference in the country. His teams always play tough defense. His teams always are disciplined. And this year's no different. Looking in conference-only games, according to KenPom, this is actually kind of a bonkers number. Their offensive adjusted efficiency is 117.3. Their defense efficiency is 98.7. So not only in conference play so far are they the number one offensive team in the country, but they're also the number two defensive team in the country. They're playing so far in SEC games at a tempo of 70.8 possessions per game. The Gamecocks are playing about 64 possessions per game. You know, it can be a rock fight. And, you know, I see Craig saying down there, first to 50 tomorrow night. Yeah, I mean, it might be first to 50, but I think that, you know, Tennessee can score 75, 80. They're a pretty good offensive team. But looking at what makes Tennessee run, it's Dalton Knecht. And Dalton Knecht is a guy that I saw some of the numbers he was putting up earlier in the season. And I was like, okay, well, let's see what he does, you know, in SEC play. And what he's done in SEC play has been absolutely, absolutely crazy. You know, looking at his, let's just go back to SEC. When SEC play started, Tennessee won 90-64 at home against Ole Miss. He scored 8 points. Against Mississippi State, they lost on the road 77-72. The kid had 28 points. Against Georgia on the road, Tennessee won 85-79. He had 36 points. Against Florida at home, Tennessee won 85-66. Dalton put up 39. Against Alabama, Tennessee won by 20 at home, by 20 points. He had 25 points. And this, you know, their last game, Vanderbilt on the road, Tennessee won by 13. He had 32 points.
You know, I've watched a lot of Dalton, and he kind of got my attention after he put the 31 spot on Georgia. And, you know, if you guys haven't had a chance to watch him play, I mean, he's a professional. I don't know how Tennessee found him as a second team all-conference player, you know, when he was at, like, what, Northern Colorado. And I don't know, you know, how he's doing what he's doing. The best thing I can tell you, if you want like a player comparison, and like, I'm telling you this to scare you, but I'm also telling you this to be honest. The Dalton Kennett kid kind of reminds me of Carmelo Anthony, like the way he plays basketball. He's a little bit shorter than Carmelo, but the way he rises on his jumper, how pure it is, you know, kind of the sneaky athleticism that he can play with. He can play in the mid range. He can post up. I think that the biggest thing for the Gamecocks tomorrow night, and look, I'm sure every other SEC team has tried to do something about him lately, but they're going to have to find a way to slow him down. And look, maybe his little run here of, you know, 37, 28, 37, 31, 26, and 20 is going to slow down. I mean, the law of averages says that he's not going to score, you know, 28 points per game every single game. But the Gamecocks have got to throw some bodies at him. When you look at it, you know, 37 points against Vanderbilt, they scored 75. So, I mean, he's like 40% of their scoring. Against Alabama, he scored 28, 91. So, like a third of their scoring. Like, I wonder how Tennessee is going to be able to score if he's not scoring right now. And, like, that sounds dumb. I get it. Like, he's one out of five guys that's on the court. But sometimes you see these guys, you know, get on these little hot spells and teammates just continue to feed them the rock, which I totally get. And I would probably do the same thing if he was on my team. But you got to hope that, you know, you throw a Miles Studi, Zach Davis, you know, you got to throw, you know, everybody, Talon Cooper at him, Michi Johnson. I mean, when he comes into the paint and he's going to try and dunk on you, maybe let Josh Gray foul him so it hurts. You're going to have to run through some bodies at him. But if the Gamecocks can find a way to not let somebody else beat them, like if you're going to lose and Dalton Kennett's going to go for 40, cool. But let him get his, you know, try and stop him, right? You gotta try and stop him from scoring. But a lot of other Tennessee players, you know, have not been carrying the load right now. And I think that, you know, Lamont Paris is going to find a way to slow him down. I mean, he has to. But with that being said, we're going to talk a lot more men's basketball. We're going to talk a little bit more about this Tennessee game. But let's hit a break really quick and hear some words from our sponsors.
Mike here for one of the better dining options in the capital city. You know, when I first moved there, I asked people around the radio station, where are the best wings? Well, the consensus was D's Wings. That was then. Today, they still have the best wings, but it's so much more now in their new location at 415 Meeting Street in West Columbia. Yeah, they get voted the best wings on a routine basis. Yes, they get voted the best sports bar on a routine basis, but they're not just about wings, and really, they're not just a sports bar. It is a family-run local restaurant and bar with 20 TVs and 25 beers on tap. And how about these daily specials? Every Monday night at D's, you've got 75-cent wings from 4 until closing. Tacos on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, 18 wings and a pitcher of beer for $29. You've also got ribs and oyster bucket specials on Thursday. And no matter how big the party is, 20 or more, no problem. Just call ahead of time and they'll take terrific care of you. They'll do takeout as well. And guess what? A human will answer the phone and take the order. Billy and his staff do an outstanding job. Check out D's. 415 Meeting Street in West Columbia.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Chicken cock originated in Kentucky, like so many other bourbons. And so the resurrection of it, you know, Paris, Kentucky, that's the county seat of Bourbon County. So much of this whiskey was being made in that Bourbon County, put on ships and barges and shipped down Ohio, down the Mississippi, and got to New Orleans, where it got distributed all over the world. And people kept saying, well, hey, I want some more of that whiskey from Bourbon County. And so that's how bourbon whiskey got its name. And chicken cock originated actually in Paris, Kentucky, which is today Bourbon County.
Thank you so much for that word from our sponsors. D's Wings. Oh my gosh. When I was in Columbia, when I was an undergraduate, they had, it's a little bit different now, but if they had like 25 cent wings, and it went to 50 cent wings. And you know, when your legend grows, you can charge a little bit more, but that's still a heck of a deal, for chicken wings. And that thing, they have like over 80 flavors. It's something phenomenal. Obviously, you know, chicken cock, bourbon whiskey. Love that. That's pretty phenomenal. Had that a couple weeks ago. Just a lot of fun. Just, you know, pull that out, make some old fashions, make some drinks with your friends. So make sure you use the Chief Sports Network app and grab your chicken cock whiskey wherever you can. Between the break, I was kind of looking around at you know, the comments in the chat. Craig's right, you know, Pat Summitt won 8 titles, and you know, as good as Don has been, imagine having to win 6 more to match that. I mean, it's unbelievable. And like, women's basketball is getting more and more competitive every single year, especially the SEC. But it would be crazy for Don to get there, and I think she has a chance. David Jackson said, I really think we have a good chance in Knoxville tomorrow, Matt. We play good team ball. Yeah, and I'm not trying to paint a doom and gloom situation for the Gamecocks tomorrow. Tennessee's lost some games this year. And when you look at Tennessee's schedule, and we'll take a little bit of a look over here, they beat Wisconsin by 10. Wisconsin's a really good basketball team. That's a team that Lamont Paris probably mirrors a little bit. That was a home game for Tennessee. Oh, no, an away game for Tennessee. They lost to Purdue by 4 points. You know, Purdue's one of the top two, three teams in the country, despite what happened last year in the NCAA tournament. They lost to Kansas on a neutral court by 9. Kansas has had, you know, they had an issue this past weekend. They've had, and Kansas might actually not win the Big 12 this year. They lost to North Carolina 192. You look at North Carolina right now, they're a top three, four, or five team in the country. They beat Illinois at full strength. Illinois, you know, has had some issues with the player, with some, you know, kind of disgusting allegations that surround him. But, you know, Illinois, they beat them by 7 at home. They beat NC State. Their lone loss in SEC play was to Mississippi State by 5 points. You know, it's Georgia, Florida, Alabama, and Vanderbilt, and Ole Miss, really like the cream of the crop when you look at, you know, who Tennessee has played so far in the SEC. Probably not. Obviously, Alabama, the Gamecocks know what happened when they played Alabama on the road. Florida's a team that almost gave up a 20-point lead this past weekend. And I can't remember who they played. Oh, it was Georgia. Yeah, Georgia. And we all know what happened when the Gamecocks played Georgia. So I say all that to say that, you know, Tennessee hasn't played the meat of their schedule yet. You know, looking at Tennessee's schedule, they have South Carolina tomorrow night at 6:30. Then they go on the road to Kentucky. They have LSU, Texas A&M, Arkansas, who I still say Arkansas is going to catch some people. Vanderbilt, Missouri is going to catch some people. But, you know, looking at Tennessee's last four games of the season, or last five games, actually, they have a home game against Texas A&M, a home game against Auburn, an away game in Alabama. So Alabama's going to be looking for revenge. They play South Carolina and Colonial Life Arena, and they close the season against Kentucky. So we don't know what Tennessee truly is right now. We know they're at full strength, and we know that Dalton Connect is ridiculous right now. But the rest of their team is healthy, and, you know, Zakai Ziegler is a good player. We all know about Jonas Adu. I might be butchering his last name, but I still remember watching him last year just absolutely tear the Duke Blue Devils apart in their it was either round of 32 or Sweet 16 game. And then, you know, Jordan Ganey is a good player from Tucson, Arizona. And Josiah Jordan James, who's been in college a while now. I mean, his first season was 2020. He's a five-star. He's from Charleston, South Carolina. So Tennessee has some good players on their team. So let me go back into the comments real quick, because I do have some more stuff on the Tennessee game. And then, you know, I have my notes here. So some overarching stuff for the rest of the season, because I think at this point it is important for us to look at the rest of the season kind of game by game. And, you know, we have two of these episodes a week. We have this live one, and then on Thursdays and Fridays, I have a recorded episode. But I think it's time to look at the minute details here. And then, you know, I know Craig's always on the Wednesday show when I pop in. I will be on the Wednesday show again. So excited for that. But, you know, Tennessee, best offense in the conference so far, second best defense. They play a good bit faster than South Carolina. Effective field goal percentage. They have really good numbers. They make 55.4% of their shots. And effective field goal percentage just means 3-point line, 2-point field goals, and free throws. Just add all those up by how many attempts you have, and they make 55.4% of their shots. On defense and conference play so far, opponents make 44.7% of their shots against Tennessee. They do turn the ball over on offense, and that could be an opportunity for South Carolina, but they also turn the other team over. Offensive rebounding, where the Gamecocks have kind of held their own, you know, more than held their own. They keep a lot of balls alive. Tennessee is the third best offensive rebounding team in the SEC so far, and they are the fourth best at keeping opponents off the offensive glass. So Tennessee shoots 34.6% from 3-point line, 57.8% from 2-point field goals, and they're 72% free throw shooting team. They block a lot of shots. They're a really good team, and the Gamecocks are going to have to bring in their A game tomorrow. You know, that just is what it is. It's going to be hard for the Gamecocks to win tomorrow, but I will promise you this. I think the Gamecocks have a chance. I think that the Gamecocks are playing pretty good basketball in their own right, And if the Gamecocks win tomorrow night, we will have a live reaction show right here on this channel, so we can all celebrate a big win for the Gamecocks. Looking more at the chat box here, Steve Lewis says Tennessee is not looking forward to what's coming. Yeah, I agree. Trent Dowd says big game tomorrow. Big fan of Cooper and CMB. Yeah, both those guys have been absolutely incredible. Craig says there's never been a time when our top one or two scorers scored 0 points and we still win. Lamont has 5 to 6 options. Yeah. And look, if Michi goes, like Craig says here, 15 of 20 tomorrow night, then, you know, we might not be talking about Dalton Kinect. We might be talking about Michi Johnson. We kind of talked about the first of 50. Craig asked over under for 29 points for Dalton tomorrow. I'm going to go under. 29 points is a lot of points, and I think the Gamecocks are going to have enough people to throw at him that it kind of cuts that opportunity for him to, you know, go absolutely bonkers. I mean, I don't think the Gamecocks have given up 30 points to any opponent so far or any player on an opponent's team so far. So I'll say under there. Craig says he's a taller Marshall Henderson. Oh my gosh, he's so much better than Marshall Henderson. He's like Carmelo Anthony to me. Put Zach on him. Yeah, I think that you're going to see a lot of Gamecocks, you know, shuffling in on him. But I think the big thing for him is don't let him get started. I mean, I've seen so many clips of him, and I've watched so many of these Tennessee games where all of a sudden he goes on an 11-0 run by himself, and he's scoring from all different parts of you know, the court. I mean, he's hitting threes, he's hitting fadeaway twos, he's backing someone down and laying it up, he's dunking on people. Just a really, really good player. Thomas says phenomenal. Thomas Odom, that is. David Jackson said, if we can slow the pace down and play our type of basketball and not let them get a hot start at threes, I think we got a good chance. Yeah, absolutely, David. I think you're right there. Trent mentions we should be top 25. You know, I didn't expect to see the Gamecocks ranked in the top 25 today. Now, do I think the Gamecocks deserve it? Absolutely. I think if you just match up the top resumes in the country, the Gamecocks have enough quad one and quad two wins to be a top 25 team. But the way the voters vote, it's one of those things where I wish that they started voting maybe 6 weeks into the season, because there's so much bias that happens at the beginning that you have to lose a couple games to be a top 25 team to really fall out of even like the receiving votes category. So the Gamecocks had, you know, they had a big road to hoe, and the Gamecocks are doing it. So really excited for that. David Jackson says that one game we had and went horrible from the free throw line really hurt us. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That Georgia game was tough. David says, I'm telling y'all, if we keep Ellis and Noah committed, man, we're going to have some special guys who'll be able to shoot lights out for us. Yeah. I mean, right now, I don't know if we really need to talk that much about recruiting. As far as I'm concerned, both those guys are rock solid. I also like the 6'10" big guy that's out of North Carolina. I'm blanking on his name right now. I think he could be a pretty good player for South Carolina. Lamont's going to get this thing rolling. And I thought that actually today on the Inside the Gamecocks show, JB had a really good point. Right now, Lamont Paris is probably the favorite for SEC Coach of the Year. He's probably going to get some buzz for National Coach of the Year as long as the Gamecocks continue to do what they're capable of doing. And, you know, it's one of those things where he's going to get a contract extension, and that's good for South Carolina, because when you talk about recruiting and the guys that, you know, David just mentioned, when you have 4 or 5 years and at least 5 years on your contract, you're going to be able to recruit a lot better. One of the fun things, actually, and I know this is like hypothetical world, and you know, who knows what would actually have happened, but I had a thought the other night, and it was, okay, say like GG Jackson stayed at South Carolina for his sophomore year, and you put him in the BJ Mack role on this team. I mean, would GG score 30 a game? Would he score 35 a game? Because GG could shoot from three. He had athleticism that BJ doesn't have. And look, this is totally hypothetical. It's like never was going to happen, you know, never even like a blip on the radar that it could have happened. But I just think that if you get, you know, some recruits that are, you know, like the Trent Noahs of the world, Eli Ellis obviously isn't a guy that's going to be in the BJ Mack role, but Kyler Murray Boyles in like 2 years, maybe next year, in that BJ Mack role, I mean, holy crap, like what he can do. And I think the announcers talked about it against Kentucky. And I don't know what Mike said. I haven't watched the replay of, you know, the South Carolina Missouri game when Mike Morgan was on the call, but I mean, Lamont sold BJ Mack on the Frank Kaminsky role, and Frank Kaminsky was like a national player of the year at Wisconsin. Obviously lost to Duke in the national championship game. That Wisconsin team beat Kentucky, who was undefeated, like 38-0. I'm just telling you, like that position on the court is something that Lamont just uses kind of as like his queen piece in a game of chess. And it's phenomenal to watch. Like, I can't imagine a guy like Gigi Jackson playing that role. I can't imagine, you know, Kyler Murray Boyles in a couple of years playing that role, because it's going to be something that's going to be fun to watch. So really quick, and we're about out of time tonight, but you know, looking at the Gamecocks schedule the rest of the way, I went and pulled KenPom and I pulled Bart Torvik. All of you guys know I'm a big computer analytics guy. I think that the computers usually get it right. Now, does that mean South Carolina should be ranked 50th in the net? I don't think so. I think they're better than that. And if you actually look at South Carolina's strength of record and their KPI index, South Carolina is about the 18th best team in the country. But when you look at the computers, and they have a lot of information, they crunch everything, and they know what an offense is probably going to do, what a defense is probably going to do per game. South Carolina, the rest of the way, they're probably going to be, I would say, 11.5 to 13.5 point underdogs tomorrow against Tennessee. We'll call that a loss. The Georgia game's on the road, and the Gamecocks are probably going to be like a 1 or 2 point underdog. The Ole Miss game is at Colonial Life Arena. They're probably going to be like a 3 or 4 point favorite, assuming that everything goes right against Tennessee and at Georgia. And then Vanderbilt, they're probably going to win that game. Auburn on the road, the Gamecocks look to be a 12 or 13 point underdog. LSU at home, 6 or 7 point favorite. Ole Miss on the road, probably like a 3 to 4 point underdog. Texas A&M on the road, you know, 3 to 4 point underdog. Florida at home on March 2nd, probably a 1 or 2 point favorite. And then Tennessee at home, maybe a 5 or 6 point underdog. And then at Mississippi State on the road, 5 or 6 point underdog. So if you just say they're probably going to lose the games that they're over a possession underdog to, you know, let's just say that's what we're going to go with. Gamecocks are 17-3 right now. You're looking at 19-7. You know, you kind of have five swing games there with the at Georgia game, Ole Miss at home, Ole Miss on the road, Texas A&M on the road, and then the Florida game at home. So let's say that, you know, the ha-ha, like best case scenario is the Gamecocks win every game on their schedule. They're 28-3. Probably not going to happen. Probably not going to happen. But let's say, like, you know, the best case is that they win three out of five of their swing games. So now you're looking at 24-7. Let's say that, you know, they don't do all that and they're 22-9, which is like where most of the computer metrics have them. Or worst case, 19-12. The Gamecocks are in such a good position right now that I just want everyone to realize, like, this isn't a bubble team anymore. This is a team that, you know, go steal a game at Tennessee, go steal a game at Texas A&M, go steal a game at Auburn, and then, you know, win some of these games that they don't think you're going to win. And the Gamecocks are probably looking at like a five to a seven seed, you know, kind of best case scenario. And I always remind people, like, when you're looking at seeding, okay, let's just say you're a five seed. That means that the selection committee thinks you're one of the top 20 teams in the country. Let's say you're a six seed. You know, there's only four of them. So you're one of the top 24 teams in the country. You know, you're a nine seed. You're one of the top 36 teams in the country. Like, that's where the Gamecocks are right now.
And I think these computer metrics are still a little slow to keep up with the Gamecocks. And I think you're probably looking at like a 24-7 team as things stand right now. And if you're 24-7, you're probably a 6 seed in the NCAA tournament, you know, maybe even higher, depending where those wins come against. As long as you don't, you know, lose. I mean, you only have, let's see, two games against quad three and quad four opponents. So Gamecocks have to continue to pull for the teams they've beaten this year. And I made this point on the Big Spur today, but, you know, like the game against Virginia Tech tonight, Virginia Tech and Duke, the game was at Virginia Tech. It's not going to be enough for Virginia Tech just to win that game on a buzzer beater. Like, you need to pull for these teams to beat the crap out of other teams, because that's how the efficiency and the metrics work in quad one, quad two, quad three, quad four, all of that, where the Gamecocks are concerned. So, you know, Virginia Tech didn't really do South Carolina very many favors tonight. They lost by 10 to Duke. That game was projected by the computers as a 2-point Duke win. So I wouldn't be surprised if Virginia Tech falls in the metrics tomorrow. That's just how it works. But one of the cool things that I looked at is Bart Torvik has like what he calls like fun analytics. And right now he thinks the Gamecocks have a 2.4% chance of winning the SEC tournament, but he thinks they have a 62.6% chance of making the NCAA tournament. So it kind of goes with what I've been talking about, where the Gamecocks are in right now. They got to keep winning and they got to keep, you know, piling up quad one and quad two wins. But he has the Gamecocks, you know, projected to be like a 9.4 seed, so 9 or 10 seed. I think that kind of works with the computer numbers that we've seen so far. The Gamecocks have a chance to do a lot better. I mean, I said this on Inside the Gamecocks the other day. You know, the Gamecocks were projected to beat Georgia at home. They lost that game. You know, say what you want about the game and the referees and the way that game was called, but the Gamecocks were projected to win that game by like 5 or 6 points. But they were projected to lose to Kentucky by 8. So the computers don't know everything. But right now, you know, the way it looks like it might fall, like according to the computers, the Gamecocks will be 1-5 in what they consider quad 1A games. It's like the top half of the quad 1 quadrant. 3-1 in quad 2. And that means the Gamecocks will be 9-12 in quad 1 and quad 2 games. I think that's more than enough for the Gamecocks to be an 8, 9, or 10 seed, 6-1 in quad 3 and 9-0 in quad 4. So the Gamecocks are just projecting so well right now when you look at these metrics. So be rooting for the Gamecocks tomorrow night at 6:30. Like I said, if the Gamecocks win, we will definitely have a live reaction. If the Gamecocks don't win, I'll still be here Thursday night and we'll go through the Tennessee game. You know, we'll preview the game against Georgia on the road. Just couldn't be happier for the way the season has started for the Gamecocks. Couldn't be happier for the fans, the players, the coaches, especially the players and the coaches that have poured so much into this season. And, you know, 17-3 and 5-2 in SEC, that's as good as you could possibly hope for your first 20 games of the season. You got 11 games left in the regular season to go. And, you know, Gamecocks are trending in the right direction. And I think the computers are going to catch up to them eventually. But y'all, I thank y'all so much for being here with me tonight. It's so much fun to spend this time with you. And you know, you guys and gals always give me the most valuable thing you have, which is your time. I appreciate that so much. I appreciate you being loyal listeners to this show. Hit me up on the Big Spur at username Matt Anderson. I'm on Twitter now. Still trying to get the hang of Twitter. I haven't been great with it, but it's capital L, the number 8, and then the word night, NITE, Gamecock Show. So at Late Night Gamecock. You know, hit me up there. Happy to talk with you guys, happy to spend time with you all, and just continue to celebrate the Gamecocks. Baseball season will be here before you know it. Spring practice will be here before you know it. Can't wait. And Lady Gamecocks are continuing to be the most dominant team in women's college basketball. So men's tennis, probably going to be number one in the country. We got a lot of things to celebrate in Gamecock country right now. And I appreciate all of you being along for this ride with me. But I will talk to you guys Wednesday. Wednesday I'll be on Inside the Gamecocks. And then hopefully I'm talking to you guys tomorrow night. But if nothing else, see you Wednesday and then see you again Thursday. Hope you have a great night and go Cocks. Bye.